Imagine realizing the software update you downloaded today from a completely verified, completely trusted source has this hidden tripwire installed.
Right, yeah.
And if you try to isolate it or, you know, try to delete it from your system, it triggers a self-destruct sequence that just wipes your entire hard drive clean.
It is terrifying.
It really is. Welcome to today's deep dive. For this session, we are adopting the Cyber Mornings daily format to act as your dedicated cybersecurity briefing.
Exactly. We're cutting through all the noise.
Right. Focusing on the three most critical stories of the day. And we want to deliver practical impacts and clear takeaways that you can actually use immediately. Today, we're exploring a spectrum of modern cyber threats that share one pretty chilling common denominator.
Yeah, the weaponization of the very trust we rely on to function in the digital world.
Exactly. We are starting with this highly sophisticated self-propagating worm that is just tearing through the software supply chain. Then we pivot to a massive educational technology ransom scenario that has actually reached a critical deadline today, May 12, 2026.
Yeah, that one is intense.
It is. And finally, we will expose a silent server backdoor campaign that has evaded global detection for 6 long years.
It is a heavy lineup today. And, you know, what ties these distinct incidents together is the sheer audacity of the attackers.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, whether we are discussing NPM packages for software developers or cloud-based learning management systems for universities or even server control panels powering millions of websites, the adversaries are no longer trying to just, you know, break through your front door.
Right. They are compromising the foundations of the building itself.
Exactly. They are exploiting the inherent trust we place in the very tools we use to build code, to teach students, and to host the internet.
The call is coming from inside the house, basically. So let's jump right into our first story. We're looking at a really aggressive campaign by a threat actor group known as Team PCP.
Yeah, the mini Shai-Hulud worm.
Right, that's what researchers are calling it. And this malware is actively compromising NPM and PyPI packages. Now, for anyone who doesn't live in the software engineering world every day, NPM and PyPI are essentially massive public libraries of pre-written code.
Yeah, they're foundational. Mm. Almost all modern software developers rely on these libraries to pull in components for their applications.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have to reinvent the wheel every time they write code.
Exactly. But Team PCP is basically poisoning that well. They are targeting major, widely used packages like TanStack, Mistral AI, Guardrails AI, and OpenSearch. Mm. And they're slipping in this obfuscated JavaScript file, usually hiding under a harmless-looking name like readernit.js.
Right. And once a developer innocently downloads that package and the JavaScript executes, it immediately profiles the machine it has landed on.
Just scopes the whole thing out.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It then launches a remarkably comprehensive credential stealer. I mean, the script isn't just looking for passwords. It is actively hunting for cloud provider credentials, cryptocurrency wallets, AI tool access keys, and even messaging app session tokens.
Wow.
And most critically, it searches for access to continuous integration, or CI, systems like GitHub Actions.
Which are basically the automated assembly lines developers use to test and deploy their code.
Right, exactly.
And the way they sneak that stolen data out of the victim's network is just, it's brilliant in a really evil sort of way. They are exfiltrating the data via the session protocol.
Yeah, routing it to a domain called filev2.getsession.org.
Right. And for context, Session is this decentralized, privacy-focused messaging service. By piggybacking on that specific infrastructure, the attackers slip right past enterprise firewalls.
Because, I mean, most corporate security teams aren't going to blanket block a legitimate privacy-centric messaging app. It just looks like standard encrypted background traffic.
Exactly. It blends right in.
And they also built in a highly resilient fallback mechanism. If the session protocol route fails for any reason, the malware takes the encrypted payload and commits it directly to attacker-controlled GitHub repositories.
Oh, wow. Using the very GitHub tokens they just stole from the developer, right?
Exactly. Operating through the GitHub GraphQL API under a spoofed email address, and beyond just stealing the data, they set up persistence hooks in the developer's daily tools.
Like what kind of tools?
They modify extensions in Claude Code and Microsoft Visual Studio Code so the malware actually survives a computer reboot and wakes up every time the developer opens their workstation.
Okay, let's unpack this because the theft is only the first half of the nightmare here. This brings us to the dead man switch.
Yeah, this is the really scary part.
Think of this mechanism like a heart monitor strapped to a bomb. The malware generates a specific malicious NPM token to maintain its access. It then installs a background shell script that constantly pulls the GitHub API every 60 seconds.
Just effectively checking the pulse of that token.
Exactly. And the attackers actually labeled this token with a brazen warning. It literally says, if you revoke this token, it will wipe the computer of the owner.
The audacity of leaving a note like that is just striking. But the threat is completely real?
It's not a bluff.
Not at all. If an infected developer gets a security alert, realizes their account is compromised, and does what any normal incident response protocol tells them to do.
Which is to log into their dashboard and revoke that malicious token.
Right. If they do that, the HARP monitor flatlines.
The pulse stops, and the script instantly triggers a destructive command. Specifically, it executes RMNRF, which is the terminal command to forcibly and recursively delete everything in the user's home directory.
Wipes the infected machine clean in a matter of seconds.
What's fascinating here is how this threat actor handles propagation, which goes far beyond a simple dead man switch.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. We are witnessing a shift toward what the industry calls identity-driven propagation.
Right.
I want to highlight how they breached the TanStack package, because it is an absolute masterclass in exploiting trusted automation. They didn't steal a password from a TanStack maintainer.
Okay.
Instead, they orchestrated a chained GitHub Actions attack. They staged a malicious payload in a forked version of the code, used an orphaned commit to hide their tracks, and then poisoned the GitHub Actions cache.
Wait, I need to stop you there because I completely understand the concept of stealing a password, but how does an attacker actually pull a token out of thin air during an automated process?
Right.
That sounds like grabbing a single drop of water out of a rushing river.
It's a highly precise maneuver. During the brief moment when the legitimate automated build process runs, it generates a temporary, highly privileged OpenID Connector OIDC token.
Okay.
This token is, well, it's like a VIP backstage pass that only exists for a few seconds so the system can publish the final code. The attacker's poisoned cache essentially scraped that temporary VIP pass directly out of the system's runtime memory while the automated assembly line was moving.
Wow. So they never needed to steal an actual human's login credentials. They just hijacked the automated machine while it was working.
Exactly. And the terrifying milestone we reach with this technique is the concept of provenance.
Right, provenance.
Because the attackers hijacked the legitimate workflow to mint that token. The compromised malicious packages they published actually carry valid SLSA build level 3 provenance attestations.
Which is wild. SLSA being the industry's gold standard for supply chain security. It's supposed to act as a tamper-proof digital seal, proving a piece of software wasn't altered between the original source code and the final product sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, but the Shai-Hulud worm is the first documented NPM malware that produces validly attested malicious packages.
They didn't break the tamper-proof seal. They compromised the very factory machine that prints the seals.
Exactly. And it's completely self-propagating. Once it infects a new environment, it finds other tokens, swaps them out, and infects everything that new maintainer has access to.
Jeez.
And get this, the destructive element is even geofenced.
Wait, really?
Yeah. If the malware detects it is running on a machine in Israel or Iran, it introduces a randomized 1-in-6 chance of executing that hard drive wiping command automatically.
But it leaves others alone.
Right. It intentionally leaves Russian language environments completely alone.
The geopolitical targeting just adds a whole new layer of chaos to it.
It really does.
So the clear takeaway here for anyone managing a development team is that behavioral visibility during your software builds is just, it's no longer optional.
Absolutely not.
Because of those forged digital seals, these poison packages look perfectly legitimate on paper. And crucially, if you discover your environment is infected with this worm, you must throw out the standard incident response playbook.
Do not just blindly revoke those compromised tokens.
Right. You have to physically isolate the network and create a full forensic image of the infected systems first before severing the access. Otherwise, you trigger the wiper malware and lose everything.
That dead man switch forces organizations into a terrifying hostage situation. But, you know, the leverage in a hostage scenario changes entirely when we move from code to human beings.
Which brings us to our second story. The Shai-Hulud worm holds a developer's machine hostage. But what happens when an attacker holds the sensitive personal data of 275 million real people hostage?
It's a completely different scale.
Yeah. We are shifting from supply chain aggression to a massive direct extortion crisis. We are talking about the staggering data breach at Instructure, which is the parent company of the Canvas learning management system.
Right. Canvas is the digital backbone for thousands of educational institutions globally. And the threat group Shiny Hunters managed to breach their systems and exfiltrate 3.65 terabytes of data.
That is an unbelievable amount of data.
It impacts nearly 9,000 organizations. And the data encompasses usernames, email addresses, course enrollment names, and even direct internal messages between students and faculty.
The mechanism they used to get in is almost as alarming as the data they took, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
They weaponized a vulnerability related to the support ticket system in Instructure's free-for-teacher environment.
Yeah.
I mean, how does a basic customer support portal lead to the exposure of 3.65 terabytes of global data?
It comes down to privilege escalation. In many systems, a support ticket form seems totally harmless, but it interacts directly with the back-end database.
Right.
If those input fields aren't properly sanitized, an attacker can submit a help request that contains hidden code. That code tricks the back-end database into granting the attacker elevated administrative privileges.
So suddenly, they aren't a guest asking for a password reset anymore.
Exactly. The system treats them as an administrator with the keys to the kingdom. And, I mean, Shiny Hunters didn't even try to hide once they got the data.
No, they were deafeningly loud about it. On May 7th, they physically defaced the Canvas login portals at roughly 330 different universities and institutions with extortion messages.
Yeah, painted a massive target on Instructure's back.
They set a strict ticking clock to negotiate a ransom or face a catastrophic public release of all that student data.
And that deadline is today, May 12th, 2026.
Right.
And the major development breaking this morning is that Instructure has actually capitulated. They announced they have reached an agreement with the attackers.
Effectively paying the ransom to prevent the publication of the data?
Yes. They also stated they received digital confirmation of data destruction from Shiny Hunters.
So what does this all mean? I mean, I really have to push back on this narrative. Instructure is telling its clients this provides peace of mind.
Peace of mind, yeah.
But aren't they just handing millions of dollars to a blackmailer and hoping for the best? How can any massive publicly traded company seriously trust a digital confirmation of data destruction from a cyber criminal syndicate?
It's a tough pill to swallow.
There is absolutely nothing stopping Shiny Hunters from copying that database to an offline hard drive and selling it to other scammers in 6 months.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the agonizing calculus a company in Instructure's position faces.
Right.
From a purely logical standpoint, trusting an extortionist is a massive leap of faith. But they were staring down the barrel of a guaranteed, immediate, catastrophic public release of student data.
Yeah, the worst case scenario.
Exactly. They traded the absolute certainty of a disaster today for the murky, deeply uncomfortable possibility that a cyber criminal might keep their word tomorrow. It is honestly the least bad option in a boardroom full of terrible options.
Now, Instructure's PR team has been very quick to emphasize that actual course content, essays, student submissions, and login passwords were not stolen in this breach.
Yes, I saw that.
They are leaning heavily on the idea that since your password is safe, the damage is minimal.
And that is a highly dangerous way to frame the situation. The actual content wasn't stolen, but the context was. And in the modern landscape of social engineering, context is pure gold.
Explain that a bit more.
Let's look at the practical impact here. The data that was stolen, course enrollments, full names, email addresses, and the specific names of professors, it provides the exact blueprint an attacker needs to run devastatingly effective spear phishing campaigns.
Because a generic reset your password email from a fake Microsoft account is easy to spot. But if an attacker has the context...
Exactly. Think about the alternative scenario. A university student receives an email that says, "Hi, this is the financial aid office. We noticed an irregularity with your enrollment in Biology 101 with Professor Smith.
Oh, man.
Please click the secure portal link to verify your student status or your financial aid will be suspended." The attacker has the real course name, the real professor, and the student's real email address.
It completely bypasses the user's natural skepticism because the premise is so deeply grounded in reality.
The context creates an illusion of authority.
So the clear takeaway for you as a listener is immediate action. If you manage an IT network at a university, or frankly, any enterprise where your employees might be using a Canvas portal for corporate training, you need to issue specific phishing advisories today.
Right away.
Warn your users to expect highly targeted emails impersonating school administrators or internal IT support utilizing real enrollment data.
It is a sobering reminder that sometimes metadata is just as dangerous as the passwords themselves.
It really is. Now, Shiny Hunters operated with maximum volume defacing web portals and demanding ransoms on a public ticking clock. But the most insidious threats in cybersecurity are often the ones operating completely in the shadows. Mm. We are transitioning from high-profile, loud extortion to a silent, persistent phantom.
Yeah, this next incident is a masterclass in flying under the radar. We are analyzing a threat actor dubbed Marat 13, who is currently actively exploiting a critical vulnerability, CVE-2026-41-40. This is a severe flaw impacting cPanel and Web Host Manager. For anyone unfamiliar, cPanel is the administrative control room that powers millions of independent websites across the globe.
Right, it's everywhere.
It's the master dashboard where you manage emails, databases, and security certificates. If an attacker controls your cPanel, they control your entire server.
And this specific vulnerability allows for an authentication bypass. To use an analogy, an authentication bypass is like a bouncer checking IDs very strictly at the front door of a club, but leaving the side alley door completely unlocked and unguarded.
Great analogy, yeah.
Remote attackers are just waltzing through that side door to gain elevated administrative control of the server without ever needing a password. Security researchers are actually tracking over 2,000 unique IP addresses worldwide that are automatically attacking this flaw right now.
And once they bypass the authentication, they're deploying a backdoor codenamed file manager. The attack chain starts with a simple shell script. That script reaches out to the internet to download a Go-based infector.
Which is important because...
Well, a Go-based infector is significant because it's a compiled binary. It can run on almost any operating system without needing extra software installed.
Hmm.
And it's much harder for security researchers to reverse engineer than a simple text script.
Oh, gotcha.
This infector implants a persistent SSH public key into the server, which gives the attacker a permanent hidden backdoor to log in whenever they want.
They also drop a PHP web shell, which basically gives them a remote command line they can access through any standard web browser.
Mm.
From there, they inject custom malicious JavaScript directly into the server's login pages to quietly siphon off credentials, copy the server's command history, steal database passwords, and route all this stolen data out to an anonymous Telegram group.
It's incredibly thorough.
But here's where it gets really interesting. In our first story, we talked about attackers hijacking complex OIDC tokens in memory and forging cryptographic SLSA build attestations. We live in a cybersecurity era where people are terrified of AI-generated polymorphic malware and quantum computers breaking modern encryption. And yet, this attacker, Mizrat 13, is stealing massive amounts of administrative data and hiding it from security scanners using the ROT13 cipher.
Yes, the ROT13 cipher.
I couldn't believe it when I read it.
For those who aren't deeply embedded in cryptography history, ROT13 is a simple letter substitution cipher. It simply replaces a letter with the 13th letter after it in the alphabet.
Like a kid's game.
Right. An A becomes an N, a B becomes an O, and so on.
Julius Caesar famously used a variation of this exact cipher to send military messages across the Roman Empire over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's ancient tech.
It is essentially a childhood decoder ring. And yet, researchers found that this threat actor has been operating with an extremely low detection rate since 2020. That is 6 years.
Wild.
They are using a command and control domain registered in October 2020, and the specific PHP backdoor they use was uploaded to public malware scanners like VirusTotal way back in April 2022. How on earth does a threat actor using a 2022 backdoor and a cipher from ancient Rome stay undetected by modern multi-million dollar AI security products for 6 years?
This raises an important question about our fundamental assumptions regarding threat sophistication.
Definitely.
As an industry, we spend so much time obsessing over the bleeding edge of technology. We build defenses for the complex, memory-scraping supply chain attacks we saw with the Shai-Hulud worm, and in doing so, we completely overlook the basement of the threat landscape.
Wow, yeah.
Mizrat 13 isn't succeeding because they are a cryptographic genius. They are succeeding because they have mastered speed and automation.
Right. They aren't trying to outsmart the advanced endpoint detection systems. They are just trying to outrun the human patch cycle.
The camouflage is the simplicity itself. The moment CVE-2026-41-1940 was publicly disclosed, this actor didn't need to spend weeks writing complex, stealthy malware.
They were ready.
Their automated botnets were already racing across the internet, automatically testing millions of servers. They can drop a persistent SSH key onto a vulnerable cPanel server before a human system administrator has even finished reading the vulnerability bulletin over their morning coffee.
That's terrifyingly fast.
By the time you know there is a patch available, the backdoor is already installed. And because they use basic tools like a standard Go infector and simple PHP shells, their activity just blends into the background noise of everyday internet-wide automated scanning.
The clear takeaway for you is a total reevaluation of your rapid patch management. Control panels like cPanel are the prime real estate of the internet.
Yes, they are.
You cannot afford a relaxed 30-day patch cycle for infrastructure that faces the public web. Automated cybercrime botnets are racing to implant those persistent backdoors the absolute second a CVE is published.
Right.
If you are not patching these critical outward-facing systems within hours, you have already lost the race.
It is a stark contrast in methodology to our first story, but the end result is functionally identical, a complete catastrophic compromise of the underlying system.
Okay, let's pull all of this together. We have navigated a massive spectrum of modern threats today. We started by exploring the highly automated CI/CD pipeline hijacking of the Shai-Hulud worm.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it forge its own security certificates out of thin air and hold developer workstations hostage with a destructive dead man switch.
Yeah.
We then examined the painful real-world extortion realities of the Canvas Learning Management breach, where an institution had to make an agonizing deal with cybercriminals just to try and protect the context of student data from spear phishing campaigns.
Exactly.
And finally, we uncovered the quiet, old-school persistence of the cPanel backdoor, proving that you don't need zero-day exploits or quantum encryption to compromise servers globally. You just need a basic automated script and the sheer speed to beat the human patch cycle.
It leaves us with a critical final thought to mull over. Today, we saw a highly sophisticated worm mint its own valid security certificates from the bleeding edge of modern development infrastructure.
Right.
At the exact same time, we saw a 6-year-old threat actor thriving globally using a simple letter substitution cipher from ancient Rome.
Which is still crazy to me.
It is. But if the trusted systems we rely on every single day can be weaponized from both the absolute peak of technological sophistication and the absolute bottom of the barrel, are we relying too heavily on complex automated security tooling?
Oh, that's a great point.
Are we missing the fundamental behavioral anomalies happening right under our noses simply because we assume the system will automatically catch it? What hidden assumptions of trust exist in your own tech stack right now?
That is the question you have to ask yourself when you log in tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for today's deep dive. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and we will catch you next time.